Forecast for today, lots of sunshine, a high in the low 60s. Well, the Milwaukee Bucks are actively pursuing tenants for their entertainment live block across the street from the new arena, but it's probably not going to be open when the new playing venue opens in the fall of 2018. BizTime says the Bucks wanted to complete the arena and the live block at the same time. The live block is going to be a mix of dining and entertainment and retail, one of the central elements of the team's design plan for the new arena and its connection with Old World 3rd Street. Kenosha's Public Works Committee meets at 5:30 in the municipal building. On the agenda, awarding the contract to replace the Panoia Park bandshell roof to Milwaukee's Roofed Right America LLC, and their bid $49,000. Also awarding the resurfacing contract for 31st Street from 22nd Avenue to the west side of the railroad tracks to Racine's Payne and Dolan, their bid $907,000. Kenosha clergy-led congregations united to serve humanity scheduled a special meeting this afternoon as the First Step Homeless Shelter gets ready to close its doors for good this coming weekend. They don't want to fight the city's attempt to pull its license over neighbor complaints. Florence Hamilev chairs the Homeless Task Force for Cush, says that meeting at 1 p.m. is set for Grace Lutheran Church.
This is a community problem, and it's a county and city problem, and some resources have to be put into it.
First Step is operated, of course, differently than the Shalom Center, which is the city's only true permanent shelter for the homeless, accepting almost anybody in need, which is a concern, Hamilev says, going forward.
Coming from a faith perspective, they're still human beings, and they need to be provided basic human needs.
The Kenosha Council voted recently to hold a license revocation hearing, but First Step leadership decided instead to end the operation by May 1st. A missing Pleasant Prairie woman found safe at the food court for the Premium Outlet shopping mall Sunday. 34-year-old Rachel Rivera had been declared missing about mid-afternoon, was last seen on 120th Court in Prairie. Her disappearance led to a coordinated search, which included the use of a fire truck's aerial ladder and the Flight for Life helicopter. The Village of Sturtevant is targeting a certain number of sidewalks for replacement this year, both residential and those owned by the municipality. Engineer and Public Works Director Jeff Seitz told the Village Board they're emphasizing sidewalk squares that are cracked, clearly not level with others, or just a general safety hazard to anybody. Says maybe half of the affected property owners will pay the entire bill when that comes due. Past board policy, though, has allowed what he called stair-stepping.
If it's under $300 or $400, you'll put it on the tax roll at one lump sum. If it's $1,000, you might put it on the tax roll and spread it over 2 years or 3 years. So that's still a discussion that the Village Board needs to have and make that decision. The experience in the Village here has been probably half the people will just come up and pay for it right off, right at one time and be done with it. And then the others will spread it over a couple years. So that, again, is your option.
You noted some of the problems were related to trees, other the weather, some squares original to the property, and others not quite that old.
I did personally go out and look at these sidewalks, and I took a very conservative approach, and it had to fail like a trip hazard or a safety concern, or it was extremely broken up and cracked. If they were pitched the wrong way and we could repair it, or if we could fix a broken one and connect it to one that's maybe pitched the wrong way, I didn't do Mark II. I tried to do the least possible and do the most severe ones, because I know it is a burden.
He said the estimated cost right now is $125 for each 5x5 square. 70 properties affected around that number, roughly 11,000 square feet of sidewalk. There was a fire in Racine early Sunday morning that caused about $48,000 worth of damage to a couple of businesses at 1326 and 1318 Douglas Avenue, but nobody got hurt. One of the occupants of an apartment on the upper level came home, called 911 when smoke was observed coming from the roof. City firefighters quickly contained the fire to the first floor of the two adjoining businesses, a Western-style clothier and a Mexican restaurant. The caller and four other upstairs dwellers decided against any help from the Red Cross, finding their own housing arrangements. How that fire began, it's still under investigation. In Kenosha, yesterday afternoon, there was a fire in a second-floor apartment in the 3600 block of Roosevelt Road. That was extinguished within about 15 minutes of city crews arriving and finding smoke and then flames from that vacant unit. Businesses on the ground floor were evacuated, an investigator brought in. The cause of the fire still undetermined, but it did do a lot of smoke damage as well as some structural damage. City of Kenosha is expected to begin a 5-year plan to rebuild 22nd Avenue. It's one of the main routes from one side of town to the other. That was supposed to have started this summer, beginning with 75th Street south to 80th. That could be delayed now by a year if lead pipe legislation in Madison doesn't pass soon. Speaking with our partners at Gateway Public Radio, Mayor John Antaramian says he'd rather delay the road project to see if the legislature okays that bill to authorize local utilities to help certain residents cover the cost of replacing those lead water pipes they may have from their home out to the street.
We want to get the lead pipe bill passed so that we can do the infrastructure with the lead pipes before we start rebuilding roads on the road. So timing-wise, it may not mesh, and so we may have to hold off an extra year.
That proposed legislation does have bipartisan support among lawmakers, but the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is opposed to it. It would enable utilities to directly make grants or low-interest loans to qualifying homeowners. Mount Pleasant's Plan Commission recommended the Village Board approve an adjustment to the maximum height of buildings in its business parks, from the current 40 feet to between 40 and 60 feet. Community Development Director Sam Schultz pointed out there's another section of the statute that allows up to 60 feet for offices and hotels. Said the change would add the need for a zoning public hearing, notification to neighboring property owners, and the Village Board giving final approval.
Village staff believe this adequately balances the want to remove the need to get a variance for buildings between 40 and 60 feet, while still allowing a significant public input before the Village allows for greater heights. The recommendation does not change acceptable underlying types of use within the business park land under the 2035 Master Land Use Plan. As a fiscal note, the recommendation removes the need for some users to apply for a zoning variance, which increases the ease of development within the village.
We told plan commissioners there's no example, though, of any company wanting that 60-foot maximum height.
Most of them just want to go a little bit above 40. So I believe the SATA edition wanted to go up to 44 feet, so we made them get a variance for an extra 4 feet. The reason I maxed it out at 60 is that matches the M1 industrial zoning height limit, so that's basically the tallest we allow anyone to go.
That issue's on the Mount Pleasant Village Board meeting agenda for tonight. Agendas for the Racine Finance and Personnel Committee, as well as the Redevelopment Authority later today, both look for approval on a hold harmless agreement to allow the police department to conduct training activities in buildings owned by the RDA. The 5 p.m. Finance Committee meeting also has the police chief seeking the okay to accept a donation from the Policeman's Ball for $6,100 to be used for the canine program. And you got meetings of the Racine Unified School Board coming up, first at 5 o'clock, the reorganization meeting, then the 6:30 regular business meeting. At the 5 p.m. meeting, it's board members Brian O'Connell, Mike Frontier, Dennis Weiser, elected on April 4th, taking the oath of office. Then it's the regular business meeting at 6:30. The Kenosha School Board has its organizational meeting. That's at 6:30 tonight. That'll include the election of officers. Then it's the regular business meeting following at 7 o'clock. There's an informational session coming up this Saturday for area veterans who want to learn more about taking a trip to Washington on that Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Tour. It starts at 9:30, again Saturday morning. Volunteers with the organization going to be at Racine County's Ridgewood Care Center. In addition to World War II veterans, spokesperson Karen Rolke says that they're also focusing in on Korean War veterans who'd like to go. Says anybody interested is invited to attend.
We're thrilled to answer questions and give applications to anyone from the community who would like to come. We currently are flying World War II and Korean War veterans, as well as terminally ill veterans from any conflict. So anyone in any of those three groups is welcome to apply with us.
She notes that the honor flight is more than just a trip to the nation's capital.
They sometimes will make new friends. You know, many of our oldest veterans have lost their peer group. So the chance to spend the day in the company of other veterans is something that really can't be overstated in its importance, and it's one of the things that many of our veterans don't consider.
And she says volunteers will be there to answer a lot of questions about the program.
If they're not certain about, for example, their veteran's medical status, our volunteers can answer questions like that, can talk about what the general procedure on flight day is. Sometimes veterans are afraid of situations on an honor flight, and once they get their questions answered, they're much more willing to sign up.
Veterans and their families can contact the Ridgewood Care Center to register for this coming Saturday's honor flight information session. The Mount Pleasant Village Board, before its regular business meeting at 6:30 tonight, has a special meeting at 6 to first appoint and swear in John Keyes as the trustee, who will fill the slot that Dave DeGroote vacated to become the village president. Then during the regular meeting, it'll be DeGroot, along with the re-elected trustees of Sunny Haven and John Hewitt, being sworn into office. Then comes the agenda, which includes a closed session about the village administrator, a position, as you know, filled now part-time by Police Chief Tim Zarzecki. New President DeGroot wants the board to take another look at the level of authority that the next administrator needs to have, and perhaps also handle human resources duties instead of hiring another person as the board approved back in January. Solid waste collection in the city of Racine is going to be undergoing a major change in the coming months. City residents are going to have to fit their trash items into new 96-gallon carts that each resident will be getting, or the materials are not going to get picked up, at least not that way. Some of the finer details are still being worked out, but Public Works Commissioner Mark Yellen says the implementation is still on track. The Public Works and Services Committee, by the way, has the purchase request for those 27,000 carts on its Tuesday night agenda after a 5:30 p.m. public hearing on street projects. Bulky waste items not fitting into the carts, those will have to be taken to the Pearl Street site. Another drop-off location or two is also still being considered, as well as allowing 4 free pickup days a year based on phone calls into the Public Works office. Kenosha's Department of Public Works is going to be hosting a public information meeting Wednesday as part of the process of updating the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan for the city's parks. It'll take place at the Kenosha Public Museum. Residents are welcome to come share their concerns and recommendations about the parks with the city staffers during the open house style meeting. It'll begin at 5 o'clock, go till about 6:30. The public's input will be used to outline future park projects. And in Kenosha, a new indoor shooting range and renovated classrooms for police science students to be dedicated at Gateway Technical College Friday morning. It's a $2 million project, Kenall Protective Services Training Center, because of the sponsorship. It'll include a crime lab, new space for simulation exercises, also a 12-foot shooting range to replace the basement facility at Gateway that no longer meets state training standards. Our forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.